the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello folks, welcome to the weekly Manchester United show on Beyond the Pitch. I'm your host as always, Phil Brown, joined with my regular co-host as always, Martin Walwork. Martin, how's things, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. How about yourself?
Okay, mate, obviously still digesting the game against Man City, of course. Yep. We'll talk about the United City game, what we took from it, our own positions on it, and what that means going forward. We'll talk a wee bit about, of course, the breaking story in England about City FFP and how that relates to United. We'll talk about some of the new contracts that are being signed, some fans not particularly happy about players who really need to be replaced, getting renewed deals. I'll talk about United's inconsistency and all those things. So, Martino, I'm not going to spend an awful lot of time talking about Juventus game since it's been long gone. 2-1 away to Juventus is a brilliant result for United in a game, let's be honest, for large parts of it, they were dominated. If you look at the Juventus game, a lot of similarity to the City game, with except the score. United getting one shot on, no shots on target unless it's a set piece. You know, here United again, had to get a set piece to score a goal. Really a smash and grab against Juventus, but an exceptional result.
Well, I think that really says it all, to be honest with you. It was a great result and not necessarily a great performance. However, you know, we saw it many times under Sir Alex. Poor performances away from home and stealing points or setting up and getting a point away from home. You know, I think most of us would have taken a point away at Juventus with the state of play. So to grab all 3 points, you know, puts us in a much stronger position to actually qualify from the group. So I'm sure the Glazers and Woodward will be thrilled because they'll get their wish and they'll hopefully advance in the Champions League and get to fill their pockets a little bit more and delay the inevitable dumping out of that competition as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, at this moment...
That's just the honest truth about it, isn't it? It's the ugly truth. This team, this squad, this setup is going nowhere. So the ideals for them are, you know, as we said before, Mourinho will get dumped when United can't qualify for the Champions League. That's my thought. And you know, the Glazers will be happy with the state of play in the Champions League because now they're in a very good position to advance in the tournament in the competition.
Yeah, but. So here's what I see when I look at Manchester United. It's blatantly obvious to me. So to understand United, you have to go back really to Ferguson. And the fact that really since the financial crisis, and arguably since 2005, but really confirmed since the financial crisis happened, United have been extremely parsimonious. And in fact, you go back to Silva and Aguero, both of whom were offered to United at really affordable prices. I think David Silva was offered to United in the 20-odd million. Aguero was in the 30 million range. United turned both of them down, saying there was no value in the market, when clearly it was about the Glazers, who hadn't got the money to spend, who needed United to use as a cash cow to get through the financial crisis, and therefore tied Ferguson's hands behind his back. This is part of the reason why we're in this situation. This is part of the reason why supposedly the biggest football club in the world still playing a left winger at left back, a right winger at right back, a centre back that hasn't been good enough at this level for, I don't know, 5 years, and another one we're not sure about, a team that hasn't kept a clean sheet since August. It's kept one all season, I think this stat is. Nothing in this team is progressing, but it's a club, Martin, that has an identity now, but just not a football one anymore. Louis van Gaal said it, what you and I have been saying. Yeah. Bayern Munich, football club, run by football people, making football decisions. Manchester United are a PLC, not an AFC. Big difference. Manchester United have business goals, business objectives, not football goals. Now, if they can marry the two, great, but the priority is always profit. The definition of success, the Glazers, is not trophies, it's profit. And so City, on the other hand, don't prioritise profit, they prioritise football. So what do you get? You get two clubs that mirror exactly what is going on inside their football club. We'll talk about City's cheating in a minute. But forget about City for a minute. Just look at United. Just look at how appalling United are. Because no matter how bad City do, but it has nothing to do with how bad United are. There are signs, Martin, that tell you everything you need to know. When you ask a professional footballer, what's the difference between a Premier League footballer and players at lower level? And they'll tell you consistency. Mm-hmm. Because anybody can get themselves up for a one-off game. We see this in the FA Cup all the time. Yeah. Right? Players, but you see, to be consistent, to do that week in, week out, that takes you to be a winner. It takes someone to be focused. It takes someone to live their life as a professional. It takes someone to be perfect or close to perfect. You then have no consistency because the players aren't capable of giving you that. They're not winners. You saw it at the weekend, Raheem Sterling in the corner. Why didn't somebody crunch him? I don't want Juan Mata to wave his finger at Raheem Sterling. Honestly, I've had more intimidating farts than Juan Mata waving his finger at me. Somebody put a marker on him. Somebody do something.
Well, it's the same as Ronaldo, isn't it? I mean, in the Venice game.
Yes.
We were crying
out. Put a marker on him.
Someone, so put a marker on him. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have hit Ronaldo on Tuesday too. Look, I said on Twitter after, I'm done with the Ronaldo love-in, first of all. Right? He was a great player for United. He's long since gone. I would have loved to have seen someone put a marker on him at the weekend. Or against the Juventus in the game Tuesday. I wasn't particularly pleased with his comments afterwards, but we'll get to that later. Here's the bigger problem here, Martin, is can a football club that has purely financial goals, that somewhat coincide with football goals, but aren't, we want to see United win the league, they want to see United come finish in the top four. Can a new manager come in and fix that with this focus?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, it depends what you're looking for. We hear often now on multiple different platforms how United have lost their identity, how United don't have an identity, United don't have any form of identity whatsoever. And I'd say that's absolutely completely false. We do have an identity, as you've just said, and that is our new identity. Yeah. And that's just a damning statement, really, for the state of the football club.
Well,
is the new identity of United is it's a PLC. It's about the money. And like you said, you know, clearly, Van Gaal saw it. You know, with that statement he made, it's blatantly obvious now to everybody around that United is about money. Products on the pitch clearly is a distant second.
Yeah, see, this is where the fans are going to have to get involved and hold people accountable beyond Mourinho, and they're going to have to demonstrate at Old Trafford their anger towards people above Mourinho. If you're a fan and you say this isn't all Mourinho's fault, then who else's fault is it? I want answers to why United are in this situation. I want answers as to why we're 3 years into Mourinho's reign, and yet here we are again. The last two prior seasons, he was writing off the season with 5-6 games to go and said, we don't have a squad capable of competing for all the trophies. We've got to prioritise one. We can't compete in the Premier League, so we're just going to ignore that because we're less likely to win that. This is arguably the biggest football club in the world, and we can't prioritise. We have to prioritise competitions. We don't have a squad capable of competing on all fronts. Here we are 3 years in, and Mourinho wrote the season off before a ball was kicked, saying it's going to be a difficult season. Right? Why? That's not progress to me. That's going backwards. And yeah. Ed Woodward and everybody inside the football club should be made to explain exactly what's going on. Why is that happening? Why is there no transparency? Why is Ed Woodward not doing interviews? What does he have to hide? Why won't he communicate with the fans? When was the last time the Glazers did an interview? Why won't they talk to people? The last time they did an interview was the day they bought the football club on MUTV. The fans are at least entitled to some form of communication. And when you don't communicate, just like Abramovich, it's because you don't want to be asked certain questions that you don't have an answer for.
The only time they seem to show their face is, you know, I think it was Joel Glazer, wasn't he, at a game the other day. And you know, there was an imminent announcement to the New York Stock Exchange. So, you know, very convenient when they show their face and when they stay away. Like you say, they have no intention of going in front of the cameras because, you know, there's questions there that they don't want to answer. Mm-hmm. And they've no interest in answering because they couldn't care less. If they genuinely cared about a football club, they'd be there front and centre.
But see, to be fair to them, Martin, they're not United fans. Right? They aren't you and me. These are guys that are sitting in Florida looking at Old Trafford every week saying, I don't see anything wrong. I know you two bitches are screaming about your football team not winning, but from our perspective, record shirt sales, record investment, record sponsorship, record attendance. We don't care about the result on the field if you don't. You know, if the fans are going to turn around and say the only way to be a fan is to ubiquitously support this club without any self-examination, without any standards, any red lines, and saying, look, that's enough, that's too much. The red line should have been Saudi Arabia when they started seeking sponsorship out there, yeah. Right? But the thing is, Martin, people are throwing the toys out of the pram now, not because it's in United's best interest, but because they're not being bought any new toys. Where's our new signings? Look, yeah. Certain people have been talking about this since 2005, and certain people have shot those people down, saying they're not real United fans. Now these people are complaining about the Glazers. Wait a minute. You were warned and warned and warned. And the vocal minority that warned you about the Glazers were constantly shot down. Look, I've been called an anti-Semite for criticizing the Glazers. God knows how that connection was ever made. Yeah, but because apparently of a sign that was made of an effigy of Malcolm Glazer being hung, which unfortunately for the individual who alleged that, didn't realize that the person who created that effigy was actually Jewish themselves. But nonetheless, the attempted slander of United fans who have rightfully protested Glazer ownership, apparently there were xenophobes. Well, clearly, no one understands. Anyone who would allege United fans being xenophobes are idiots. It was anti-American. It was all this stuff, which was utter nonsense, of course, because they also protested the previous owners that were Irish. So it wasn't anti-American. It was about what was in the best interest of this football club. And look, there's a lot of protagonists on what happened, but here we are. And yes, the Glazers played a massive role. Take a look at their spend in Martin from 2008 to the day Ferguson left. It is a disgrace. Mm-hmm. The year City signed Sylvain Aguero, United made a £16 million profit in the transfer market. The no-value transfer market. That summer was the year United signed Baby. That's why United are in this mess. The fact that they're giving out contracts to Antonio Valencia and Ashley Young, two players that need replaced. Why aren't they replaced?
What happened to these rolling one-year contracts when they get to a certain age? Well, they've completely done away with those now.
Well, the thing is with Young and Valencia, where are they going to go? MLS maybe? You know, so they know they've got them locked down. Right?
Yeah, but with another contract, as always, he's going to come a pay increase.
But even if it's not, mate, they shouldn't be given a new deal, in my opinion. Or, look, these are players that need replaced. United clearly need to have... Look, Ashley Young at the weekend was targeted, Martin, right? Because he doesn't sense danger. Where's the first goal come from?
Well, no, look, it's 40, I think almost 50% of City's attacks came down the left-hand side.
Right, City's targeted. Left, United's right.
City's correct. Left, our right, targeted.
Yeah, of course. And Ashley Young doesn't sense danger like a defender does.
Exactly, it's not on Ashley Young. I think Ashley Young has performed admirably.
Of course.
I really do. But again, he's replacing... So you have a converted winger replacing a converted winger in a right-back spot.
Right. And now Luke Shaw has played well.
Who's his replacement?
Yeah.
Converted winger Ashley Young.
And see, this is the problem, Martin. When you look at United's squad, it's razor thin. And they really cannot afford people to be either out of form or loss of confidence. United are not getting in goals out of Jesse Lingard. They're not getting assists out of Lingard. They're not getting goals out of Lukaku, who was a disgrace when he came on. A disgrace! I mean, he wouldn't run. I can't. Every time City would play out from the back, I'd see Lukaku standing 10 yards off a defender jogging. Paul, you're the first line of defence. You've just come on a sub. You're supposed to have fresh legs. Can you help here? Because you see, when you look at that third goal, it starts from City playing out from the back with Lukaku standing.
Yeah, 44 passes.
And then the man's a Matic, who somehow still gets picked because there's no alternative. If Lukaku's out of form, what's the alternative? If Jesse Lingard's out of form, what's the alternative? Alexis Sanchez is out of form, what's the alternative? There is none. This squad is razor thin. That's unacceptable. There should be two players for repossession. The man's a manager out of form. What's the alternative? There is none. That's unacceptable.
Well, and that's the problem you're seeing now. That the alternatives are a completely different style. You know, if you want to start, a Marcus Rashford on the right hand side of right forward, by the way. So you've got him in a right wing position. You've got out and out pace going down the line. Not that it's happening an awful lot, but if you start him and then that's your setup. Who's your replacement? Okay, so then you go to Wan-Mata, who's got no pace and wants to cut inside. So that's a completely different style. Likewise, on this centre forward, if you play Lukaku, they're trying to play into his feet when he wants the ball in the channels. Your replacement then would be Sanchez, who is a completely different style of player, or Marcus Rashford, who wants the ball in behind and doesn't want the ball to be held up to feet. So now you don't have a like-for-like replacement in the slightest. You have Lingard, who started at weekend, really non-existent on that right-hand side. It was used primarily to defend. Wants to come inside. Well, Mata wants to come inside. Alexis Sanchez wants to come inside. So that there's, while there is replacement, so to speak, they're not like for like replacements. So everything has to change. Or you try and play the same style of play, but you can't with different personnel. Then you look in the midfield. I mean, and this is where, you know, we talk about Mourinho. You know, look at the setup at the weekend. A not fully fit Fellaini starts the game. Matic, who's been god awful, we probably got 3 months out of him. For the 30 million we paid, we got 3 months of good football out of him.
But you can't rest the guy, Martin, because there's nobody else there to do anything. This is Manchester.
But hold on. There may not be anybody else who can replace him on a good day. But the way he's playing right now, roll the dice.
Pick
any number of people there. So
how many players have come in, started well, and deteriorated? This happens all the time in Mourinho signings. This is carrying exactly the same trajectory as all of Mourinho signings.
Yeah.
Mkhitaryan started well. Mm-hmm. Looked great. Defending became terrible. So, I mean, they interrupt you there, but maybe that's a question for the coaching staff. Why are players coming in here and deteriorating?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but again, why has Fred not come off the bench?
You see, this is where...
53 million quid on... If, like we're led to believe, that there was a limited transfer kitty and we were prioritising a centre-back so much, then why go pay 53 million quid on a player that you want to blood in and it's going to take time? And he is going to take time to sell. This is not... I think Fred's been all right, by the way. I don't understand how Fred doesn't start that. We needed... Against City, you need legs. You need action. You need players who can cover ground. We got Matic and Fellaini playing that centre-back.
Let me ask you a couple of questions. Let me ask you... If Alexis Sanchez had went to City or Liverpool last January, would we be seeing this Alexis Sanchez?
Well, we can't categorically see.
Most likely.
Hypothetically, but no, not a chance.
Okay.
You can take any footballer there they're stagnant. There's no creativity. They've been stripped of any creativity, in my opinion. And all our attacking players.
So I agree. Right? United are very, very structured.
There's no room to express themselves.
The creativity is atrocious, an absolute disgrace for a football club like this to continually go into big games and finish them with one shot on target, zero shots on target. Forget about the result for a minute, because that tells you more about where you're at than anything else. You've been completely dominated.
Outclassed. I mean, this. I mean, they say has there ever been a bigger gulf between United and City?
But hold on a minute, because what you're talking about, people talking about January. Here's my view on January. First of all, Mourinho's not getting money in January. This is an opinion. This is not a fact. This is what I think. Okay, I think the Glazers worship money more than anything else. They're looking at Mourinho saying, this guy's on shaky ground. Do we really want to hand the money in January? Let's just save it for the next coach.
I also think that the sign there is why these guys are getting new contracts.
But
I think that's telling you all you need to know.
Yeah, because it's cheaper to keep them. That, and also, I do think they're within their rights to say, wait a minute, Jose, what about Eric Bailly? And why is he no longer in favour? What about Fred? In a game where your best midfielder, right, is suspended or injured, you don't play your £52 million signing? Why not? What happened to him? What happened to Ojo Dalot? £20 million. Where'd he go?
I know he's been carrying an injury, but I mean, and you can say the same about Pereira. Pereira played in every preseason game in a holding midfield role. And started the season, not, I mean, look, he certainly wasn't the worst player we've ever had out there. And then he has completely disappeared.
So you can turn around and say, Phil Jones, Chris Long, and Isley Young, Valencia, all that. That's not Mourinho. That's not Mourinho, right? Mourinho can't get rid of them. The club doesn't want to sell them. That's fine. But what is to do with Mourinho? And if you're a Mourinho fan, you have to accept that he hasn't done enough of what he has. And there's enough for him to be blamed on for me to say, you have to go. Rafael Honigstein tweeted something the other day, and I completely agree with him. One of Mourinho's greatest tricks, because and this would never have been accepted if it was Moyes or anyone else, was convincing United fans that this is the best he can do with this Man United team. I don't believe that. I do not believe that. And I think that, look, if you look at Lopetegui's record when he was sacked at Real Madrid, it was identical to Jose Mourinho's this season. Right? Identical. Goals different, games played, won, lost, everything was the same. But Real Madrid's a football club. They don't tolerate that. You will be sacked for that.
And who did they hire?
Santi Solari.
Who was where?
Their youth team manager.
Okay.
Real Madrid. But to be
making a point.
Yeah,
what
but Real Madrid's B team is playing in essentially a championship.
No, it's true.
Right? And so you are getting a little bit more experience. But I agree with you, Martin. I'm okay with promoting with them. I'm okay with
it. I mean, it's knowing the club and not.
Yeah. But I'm okay with promoting with them if you have an outstanding candidate that ticks all the boxes. Promote with them. But if you're just going to promote with them for the sake of it, I don't agree with that. Right? I think that you are given enough resources at United, despite all the problems. It's still one of the top jobs in the world. You're given enough resources to be doing much, 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 much better. And if I'm Mourinho's boss, I'm going to turn around and go, show me the progress. Where are we making progress? Can you point to me one single area that United are better in today than what they were when Mourinho came?
And the answer is no. It's a categorical no.
No. This is a team that is exactly where it should be in the league.
Yeah, I don't want to mean, look, the Mourinho lovers, that they're, you know, I think both people are on, they're on two sides of the fence, right? There's very few right in the middle with Mourinho, but the ones that love him will not hear a word against him. It's when you point to that, how poor United have been. The response is always, he's not been backed, look how much City has spent, I don't care how much anybody else has spent, I don't care whatever anybody else's investment is, I care that he has spent an awful lot of money on players that are his players who are not performing. So are they, then the question becomes, were they his players? And if so, now we have a different argument, but you cannot sanely argue that with the talent he has at his disposal, he shouldn't be doing better than this. Would he be challenging City? No. Would he be challenging Liverpool? Maybe not. But I tell you what, he would be above Watford and Bournemouth.
You just uttered the sentence that I was about to utter. You bastard. Took the words out of my mouth.
You know what I mean?
No, forget about challenging City for a second.
But I'll tell you what else. We wouldn't have a negative one goal difference. We wouldn't have conceded 21 goals. We wouldn't have only scored 20 goals.
Martin, United are 7 points off top four.
Yeah, 12 now, points behind City after 12 games.
But they're 12 years behind City. But they shouldn't be. But you know something, Martin? I'm looking at United and going, where is the professional pride? Because Mourinho rightfully takes criticism. But let's extend that out. Let's make sure, okay, we've had Eddie Mourinho's feelings. There's no question. There's no excuse for not being ahead of Watford or Bournemouth in the league. And he's given excuses and he's underperforming. Of that, there's absolutely no doubt. The other part of this is, what about the players? You're playing against Manchester City. You are being embarrassed. They are making fools out of you. I don't even see people getting frustrated. I don't even see people getting angry. Other than a Juan Mata waving a finger at Raheem Sterling when he should have put him over the corner flag. I don't. Where is that? That's one of the most frustrating things, is watching these overpaid professional footballers like Lukaku walking through a game. Look, I don't care how unhappy you are, Mourinho. I don't care how unhappy you are with Manchester United. I don't care how unhappy you are with your house, your girlfriend, your ex-girlfriend, your dog. I don't care. You are a professional. You take that field. You have pride. You give 100%. and you don't, because I'm going to tell you right now, Martin, you've got players that are in that United team that are looking around going, I'm not trying because he's not. Mm-hmm. Right? Why should I give a shit when he doesn't? Why should I care when he doesn't? That's what's happening. You see it? And then I hear, oh, all of a sudden they started to care against Newcastle as if that's something I should be happy about.
Well, and the other one, again, nonsense. How long are we going to hear this boring old rhetoric from Ander Herrera of, oh, it's gone now, on to the next one. We go again, we fight again. Come on.
I know.
I'm sick of this bullshit. And I mean, you know what else I'm sick of? I'm sick of looking on social media today and seeing Victor Lindelof doing the steady hand challenge on the Man United media website.
Yeah.
I mean, look, that tells you all you need to do. Does it go on? They need to do that kind of thing? Of course they do. But in the current situation, is that the first thing we should be branded about on social media? Victor Lindelof? And bragging about the fact how many times it's taken him to do this steady hand challenge. And you know, it's all the things that just, look, I know there's a bigger picture and you're splitting hairs and maybe you're picking on
people. No, but you're right.
Come on. It's not the time. There's a time and a place. There's a time and a place to announce a sponsorship deal. There's a time and a place to promote things like that.
You see, you know, if I'm paying United millions to do a sponsorship, the last thing I want is it be announced the day after they've just been handed or
absolutely
by City. Because it's going to fall flat. And you're absolutely right. But see, this is what happens when you've got a club that's completely compartmentalized like this. You've got kids that are running the internet, you know, 20, 21, 22 probably, that are running these Twitter accounts that have no idea about why you shouldn't do this. You know, if you're sitting top of the league or challenging for the title, okay, fine. But this is a reminder. Look, the priority should always be football. And when your football's not right, don't be acting clown.
Yeah, shut okay? up. Yeah. Just shut up and keep your head down.
When you've just lost to Manchester City, don't be doing a steady hand challenge.
Yeah.
Why don't you do a steady defender challenge?
And by the way, this is not on Lindelof. Don't mistake me, because he's done what he's told to do by his employees. He's probably contractually obligated to do these type of things. You know, so please don't get me wrong, you know, get mistaken that I'm having a banging on Lindelof here, who's been pretty good. Didn't have a great game against City, but who did? But it's just the club in general and the feeling and the, you know, like you said, it's there's a time and a place, man. We don't want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see, you know what? Hey, put a fucking video camera on the training ground and show me what you're working on defensively that's leading to these lapses.
Mm-hmm.
Show me what our style of play is. Slam that over social media. You know, show us. Okay, I mean, the state of it right now, it's not like any other club is going to be massively concerned. You know, it's not like we've got major secrets. By the way, how we're breaking teams down. It's abysmal. I'm just sick of, you know, looking on and seeing that kind of crap and hearing that. Oh, we go again.
Yeah.
And don't tell me it's not about lack of investment. It's about, because the investment somewhat has been there recently, especially under Mourinho. It's about, you know, the completely haphazard scattergraph way we've gone about the bringing players in. I mean, the transfer strategy. It's all over the place. There's no plan.
Do you know,
no plan.
We talk about identity, Martin, about what United's identity is, and the things that remained precious to this football club are not maintained inside. The things that United trade off. Oh, we're a club that gives our youth players a chance. Okay, well, if only you'd invest in your youth academy. If only you didn't neglect it for a decade, right? Because the Glazers didn't see a return on it. Yeah. And so they choked it. And, of course, we're looking at Ferguson and thinking we're better than what we are. We don't really need the academy. So you can't turn around and say how precious your academy is when you've deliberately neglected it for over a decade. It's starting to improve now. But that you trade your identity there. Exciting attacking football. Well, you can't turn around and say you're an exciting attacking football team that does everything the right way than hire Jose Mourinho. You just can't.
Yeah.
But see, this is where the people that are making football decisions don't understand football. They don't. And I've met these people, and I'm telling you, they don't have a clue about football. They're totally clueless. They're intelligent business people, but they're not football people.
Yeah.
These are the people that are. So just to finish up on a minute, I want you to imagine this, okay? So Woodward and Glazer in the same Woodward and the Glazers and Richard Arnold in the same room deciding who's going to take over from Mourinho. Who's going to make an intelligent contribution to that conversation? What's the strategy? What are you trying to do? What do you know? What we want to have United look like this in 3 years. How are we going to get there? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Do this. City cheated to do it, but they did it. Okay, in order to do that, you have to have what Van Gaal did at Bayern Munich. You have to have a Rummenigge and an Uli Hoeneß above you that understands football. There's a reason why Guardiola went to Bayern Munich. There's a reason why he didn't go to United. There's a reason why he went to City and not United. This is going to keep happening. There's a reason why United ended up with Mourinho. Because it's exactly the same what happens in transfers. Unless it's an easy deal to complete, it isn't getting done.
Yeah.
So just lastly on this, Morten, when we talk about where the malaise started, and this is the only asterisk beside Ferguson's name for me for what he did in front of the Glazers. But if you go back, with the year United signed Bebe, like I was saying, United spent £7.4 million on Bebe and Lindegaard that summer. City signed Silva and Yaya Touré. If you look at the financing costs, 3 years, the June 2011, back then from 2008, it was £280 million. Okay, I was just, again, the finance costs. We keep talking about what United spend on the market. It's a fraction of what the Glazers charge you for the privilege of being owned by them. The United had a net negative spend on transfers of $16 million in that time. That's when the tide turned, Martin.
Yeah,
that's absolutely when it started to turn.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not, you know, it's highlighted right now because we're seeing the results of that from years ago. This is where it leaves you. You don't see that right away. It takes a few years to really catch up with you to this extent.
Yeah, and finally it's caught up with United.
Yeah.
And
now they're in a massive mess because now it's going to take some hell of a getting out of.
All right, well, before we move on, before we complete this podcast, I want to talk about, obviously, Der Spiegel's article on Manchester City, Martin, because there's a couple of points I want to make on this. First of all, City have a bit of a sordid history. When you talk about Barry Bannell, you talk about what happened here with FFP. What I would encourage United fans is please don't use things like Barry Bannell as a way to win an argument against City fans. Don't use that. I had the misfortune, if you want to call it that, of having to interview some of the victims of Barry Bannell, and it was without a doubt one of the top three hardest things I've ever had to do, to be locked in a room with these individuals. It is a horrendous story. But, why am I doing more work on this story than the Manchester Evening News? I'm in Los Angeles. Manchester Evening News aren't covering this. They aren't covering it. What they'll do is they'll print the outcome. Manchester Evening News were conspicuous by their absence by not showing up at the court and reporting on this, whatever it was happening. And ex-Man City players felt badly let down by Manchester Evening News and Manchester City FC. So there's that problem with the English media, not all of them, but some of them. And you must understand why this doesn't get headlines, why Roman Abramovich doesn't get headlines, despite the fact that he should be in prison rather than running a football club. And this is about protecting access. So they know, journalists know, if they write these stories, they are not getting back into Manchester City. These guys are making a living. It essentially is PR. Criticize their players all day long, but do not go after the club on things like this. Now, the question is, Morten, Ewan McKenna wrote an article in the Pundit Arena, and I've retweeted on my timeline, and I'm going to read a quick excerpt from this, and I'll get your take on this. Because this, to me, is a wonderful summation of the problem, of our own selfishness. And they celebrate, they being City fans, they celebrate as if the deeper pockets of Middle East oil money buying them trophies is some achievement. And they celebrate as the fact that that money was made ruining many lives is less important than the fact that their salaries are enriched. So when you've got a war criminal owning your football club who is starving children to death and bombing them, and you can separate that from, yeah, but he's also a good football ownership because he buys nice, good, flashy new players, you are a cretin. I'm sorry, you have no standards. If you cannot have a red line and say, you know what, I'm going to go watch my local team on Saturday. I'm done with that. I'm not supporting that. What if it was your child? And there has to be a red line, and the English media need to do a better job of exposing this. And fine if you if some of the sports journalists don't want to do it, give it to somebody else in their organization. So they're not.
Well, no, they'd rather put Jose Mourinho cupping his ear on the back bench.
That was a bigger story than Der Spiegel's. Why? Mm-hmm. So what's your take on this FFP thing, Martin?
Well, look, as far as FFP, I mean, you have to separate it into, do we agree with it, which is, and is it right, and are the laws right, and is it fair, and, you know, what the restrictions should be. That's a completely different argument. The argument is, did a club, and it's more than one club, we know that, have they categorically broken the rules, systematically broken the rules, on purpose, calculated, and have they broken the rules? And to an enormous, enormous extent. And the answer is yes. So whether the laws, we agree with them or not, is absolutely no relevance whatsoever.
Correct.
It's the laws are set out. Like I can drive 100 miles an hour down a freeway here in Los Angeles and say, well, I don't believe in a 65 mile an hour speed limit. Well, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's a rule. It's a law.
Yeah.
And they have systematically broken the law. Now, I want to make sure something clear here, if there is any, to City fans out, and, you know, this gets out to. This is not on Pep. And this what Pep has done with the players that he's been, that he has, is remarkable.
Completely agree.
Absolutely. This is not a this is not a football argument. This is not something that happens on the pitch. That's not the argument I mean. Because it's incredible. I mean, he's taken players there. I mean, he's made a footballer out of Fabian Delph. I mean, what he has done, that's besides the point. It's how they got to that point. And it's, you know, it's a disgrace that there isn't at least more investigation and at least more clarity and transparency about what is going on. Why is this so prevalent right now and nothing seems to be being done about it? It seems to be brushed under the carpet pretty quickly here.
Yeah. Well, look.
And it's only highlighting what many suspected for many years, by the way.
Well, we crap, right?
£50 million pound corner flag sponsorship.
First of all, it's local sounds like something might wave it by.
Twice.
Looks like we're crap. Exactly. Crap a card bill. But, look, mate, first of all, a couple of things. You're absolutely right. Whether you like the law or not isn't relevant. I don't like it, first of all. I do think it is. It's almost it's an impediment that is completely unnecessary.
Well, I think it also opens you up for things like this.
Well, absolutely. No question about it. Top clubs fought for this to stop oligarchs and wealthy owners coming in and inflating the market. That's the only reason why it was done. If FFP attacked that, I'd support it 100%. So I disagree with the FFP as it is. That being said, if you don't like a law, you change it. You just don't break it. And so the length the City went to break these laws, here's why I don't separate. Look, what Pep Guardiola is doing with these players is exceptional, Martin. But if Pep Guardiola was Eddie Howe and managing players on that, we wouldn't be seeing this. It does make it easier when you can go out and sign the top players in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so when you've got Inter Milan and AC Milan balancing and juggling acts and trying not to sign players to make sure they don't fall foul of FFP, why should City just be able to go out and sign whoever they want? Pretend it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And essentially flout salary cap laws so that they can sign whomever they want, they can hide whomever they want. And then there's the added issue of the HMRC, because I'm quite sure Her Majesty was really interested in the fact that Roberto Mancini was paid a large portion of a salary as an advisor to an offshore company rather than Manchester City manager. I'm sure there's tax issues here, right? But
they cheated, Martin. The same with the feeder clubs, the so-called feeder clubs, the New York City.
Exactly.
FC. It's nothing about,
see,
what, you know.
There's the other part of this, and that's a really important point. Imagine if you're a Girona fan, and you may laugh and say, well, their legitimacy as a fan is every bit as important as yours as a Man United fan, just because it's a different football club. Your club is now ruined. It's now a feeder club. It's a farm club. What if you're a Vitesse Arnhem fan? 100 years of history, going down a tube, now Chelsea's reserve team. Mm-hmm. Right, I mean, this is not good for football. If these clubs are being bought and used as shell companies to transfer costs contracts, money. Brilliant article by Der Spiegel, perhaps a bit too long, but there are really, really important points here that whether you're a City fan or not, this should matter. It should matter. Mm-hmm. There has to be some ethics in what was going on inside that club. It's not even Manchester City anymore, Martin. It's Sheikh FC. Yeah. Nothing is left of Manchester City except the name and the shirt. The stadium's gone. None of what Manchester City is today resembles anything of the Man City that you and I grew up with. They're a different stadium. You know, everything's changed. So it's Sheikh FC. It's not even Man City FC. But if you're a City fan or a Sheikh FC fan, you should be upset that your football club was hijacked by a war criminal to be used as a public relations vehicle so that there would be no scrutiny on how they run their country. Your football club is being used. And they know in their core that these victories are a bit hollow because they're cheating, they're flouting rules. And now, Martin, you're going to have clubs left and right. You're going to have La Liga. You're going to have Bundesliga that are going to look to sue City over this. It's going to get really ugly. UEFA is going to be forced to reopen this case. I'm sure the HMRC is going to look at it. This will get really, really nasty, I'm sure. Because now UEFA is in a position where they can't sweep it under the rug. Now they have
to. Well, you would hope not.
So what do they do? Maybe we see a City banned. I think a few-year ban from Europe, maybe 3 years, transfer ban, which of course would see Pep gone, right?
Well, it would be interesting if ultimately found guilty, and there was some reports I read that they, you know, to the extent of stripping titles.
I don't care about stripping titles.
No, no, me either. I'm just saying it's you know, but how much of it is going to be hollow chat, and how much is going to get done? I mean, the shirt certainly should be if they're found guilty. Certainly should be an asterisk next to that. You know, it's...
Yeah, I agree, Martin.
You know, I don't know. It's going to rumble on. I hope that for the sake of football, for the sake of, you know, that something is done. And, you know, there's transparency and it's all there for everyone to see.
Well,
and the rules are then clarified. Or whether it's... You know, whether it's slightly altered or whatever happens, it can't go on this way. And where, you know, you have those clubs with zero ethics and owners with zero ethics just circumnavigating the rules to suit themselves.
And now telling everybody else, you can do it too.
Yeah.
Because what are you if we're going to do if somebody else does it? Now you've got to give them the punishment at City. So this is exactly why you have to reopen this, go back and hit them hard so that they can say, look, we didn't, this wasn't all disclosed. This is fraudulent, and this is not sour grapes, Martin. Right?
Oh, this is a Lance Armstrong style.
Exactly. Asterisk beside your name because you cheated. That matters. That is relevant. AC Milan, who have won the European Cup 7 times, much, much bigger club than Manchester City, heavily impacted by FFP. Right. By the way, City are playing in a league where they have the highest revenue in terms of television rights. It's the most lucrative league in the world.
Yeah.
So the fact that you still have to cheat to grow that club, because City, let's be honest, Martin, we're not a massive football club. There's no way City were going to be able to generate the revenue they needed to be able to spend to catch the top clubs. There's no way.
Well, and you can't, and what you'll hear from City fans is the whole, oh, we have 50,000 attendance in Division 2. Look, gate attendance... It doesn't even scratch the surface as far as your revenue. I'm sorry to say it. People think it does. It really, on a grand scheme of things, bringing in £1 million on a game day doesn't really scratch the surface, Martin, does it?
Martin, shortly before the Sheikh arrives, that he was going out in the other windscreens to Mansfield.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the football club he bought. Nottingham Forest have won the European Cup twice and are sitting in the Championship. They're a bigger club than City. Right, City prior, Ryan Giggs, you know, we jealous of Man City. I've watched Ryan Giggs win more in my lifetime than what every Manchester City player I've ever won combined in the history of that football club. So no, they're not envious, but certainly I would want United to play the way they're playing. But rules are the rules, and look, if you want to change them, change them. I would agree if they got them changed. But what the egregious flouting of the rules and of then the proceeding to mock UEFA. I sincerely hope UEFA come down and hit them really, really, really hard. And of course, showing no class over the death of one of the FFP investigators. Just really, really disappointing, Martin. And let's be honest about this. If Man City didn't have the Sheikhs, would they have had Aguero? Would they have had Pep Guardiola? Would they have had Kevin De Bruyne? Would they have... None of these players would be there. It's all the Sheikh. This is not Man City. And when he loses interest, they go with him. City's not a legacy football club. They're not an AC Milan. They're not a Bayern Munich where they could have a few years out of the spotlight but still be a legacy club because players grew up dreaming of playing there. Nobody grew up with playing at Manchester City. Maybe Sean Goder. But I doubt Sergio Aguero in the Barrios was going, Jesus, I hope one day I could score for Man City.
Listen, I asked a little question early on and some people have been asking. This is how I'm going to finish today's podcast. People are questioning, and this is top pundits. During the game, after the game, has there ever been a bigger gulf between the two Manchester clubs? Let me just quickly remind you that while United were busy picking up the treble in 99, Sean Goto was scoring in a 2-1 loss to Wycombe Wanderers in Division 2. So, come on. Let's not be silly.
Absolute idiot, yeah. I mean, City have still yet to win a European Cup yet. They didn't get to a final. I mean, they're still a club with promise. But, yes, anyway, folks, we could go on about this all day. The next time I do a podcast, I will be a father again. So I want to dedicate
that's absolutely this. Right.
Yes, I want to dedicate this podcast to my little daughter who will be here on Friday. And I timed this 9 months ago to happen during the international break. And so it's the only way to be done. Weddings, funerals, births, international break. So my compadre here will be her godfather. So I am honored that he took that role. Thank you very much. Folks, thanks to all of you who download the show. Thanks to all of you who tolerate my most amusings after the match, which sometimes come back to embarrass me. But big thanks to this man who's on the other end of the microphone here, who has been frank, confident. And I appreciate him always being here and doing this show. Folks.
No, you're very welcome, folks.
All the best, Martino.
All the best, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, folks. Cheers. Wow.